awarded early tenure. She continued to work on the growth of scientific culture in the 17th century, with a focus on the development of chemistry and laboratory culture. Her well-ordered life now appeared safe from the dangers of being a witch in a largely human world. But this seeming safety came at a high cost, the sublimation of her true self. Diana is not even entirely successful at that, since humans sense that she is something different and rare. Diana was still an isolated figure when she went to Oxford on sabbatical. Her one good friend was Chris Roberts. The stress of passing as human caused a great deal of anxiety, so Diana relied on strenuous physical activity to relieve her high levels of adrenaline. Constant exercise, rowing down the river, running, practicing yoga, riding horses, provided a respite from the mental effort required to maintain control. Only when she was in motion did she feel truly free. Because Diana couldn't be honest with other creatures, she had had few real relationships. Whenever someone developed an attachment to her, and it did happen now and again, she ran. Matthew was the first exception to this rule, and it was through the increasing honesty between them that Diana began to discover who she truly is. Ultimately, it was not Matthew who made this possible, but the process of letting go of her secrets. Matthew, too, came to accept his flawed self in the context of his relationship with Diana. Diana always knew she had a touch of magical talent, though she preferred to dismiss it. As a teenager, she always picked up the phone a good minute before it rang, and when she was angry, the chairs in the house piled up into a precarious pyramid, crashing back to the floor once her mood had lifted. Because she could never control her magic as other witches could, she viewed these manifestations of power as an embarrassment. Diana had learned, however, that she is not simply a witch, but a weaver, a rare survivor of the ancient lineage of spellmakers who were deliberately killed off in the Middle Ages. With this understanding, she is finally able to respect and make use of her special talents. Diana is a fascinating blend of weaknesses and strengths. At times, she is subject to paralyzing fear. For example, the first time she met Matthew, she instinctively ran in panic. When someone she loves is threatened, however, she can be brave to the point of recklessness. Diana emerges as the ultimate warrior, the one upon whom others rely to keep a cool head. Philippe recognized this when he gave her this advice: think and stay alive. Because all her attention is focused on hiding, Diana pays too little attention to her environment and tends to walk into lampposts, walls, and other creatures. When she relies solely on instinct to guide her, on the other hand, she can walk or row unerringly with her eyes closed. Thanks to her faith in rationality, Diana has an irritating belief that she's always right, and that her intellect can get her out of any jam. But in 16th century London, she had to acknowledge that in matters of magic, she had much to learn. As Goody Elsop told her, "You are a weaver and must learn to control your power." Something Diana did not know much about. It is only when she embraces the intuitive, instinctive side of herself that she realizes her true power.
For all those listeners wondering if Diana will become a vampire, the answer is no. Diana is now happy being a witch. Also, Matthew loves her as she is and wouldn't want her to change.
Philip Bishop Claremont. Full name: Philip Michael Addison Sorley, Bishop Claremont. Origin of name: Philip is for Philippe, the baby's paternal grandfather. Michael comes from the de Clermont tradition of bestowing the name of an archangel on members of Matthew's family. Addison is the middle name of the baby's maternal grandfather, Stephen Proctor, and Sorley is one of Galloglass's names. Date of birth: November 22, 2010. Astrological sign: Sagittarius. Physical description: reddish blonde hair, blue eyes, taller and bigger than his twin sister. Family and romantic relationships: son of Matthew Claremont and Diana Bishop, and twin brother of Rebecca Bishop Claremont. Personal history: Philip is one of the Brightborn, the offspring of both a vampire and a witch. He is content to remain quiet and observe his surroundings, like his father. But like his mother, he has a great deal of potential for magic. Rebecca Bishop. Rebecca was daughter of Bridget Bishop by her first marriage, and half-sister to Christian Oliver. She was an ancestor of Joanna, Rebecca, Sarah, and Diana Bishop. Born in England around the year 1650, she came to the American colonies with her mother. After Bridget Bishop's execution for witchcraft in 1692, Rebecca took her mother's surname, starting a proud tradition among Bishop witches. Rebecca Bishop. Origin of name. Rebecca means snare, noose, tied up, secured, and even beautifully ensnaring. Date of birth, September 4th, 1948. Astrological sign, Virgo. Physical description. Average height, strawberry blonde hair, blue eyes. Her greatest feature was her smile, which was wide and genuine. Her style guru was Annie Hall, and she favored thrift store finds, men's jackets, and baggy trousers. A member of Harvard University faculty. Family and romantic relationships. Married to Stephen Proctor and mother of Diana Bishop. She and her sister Sarah Bishop are from a long line of bishops, through their mother, Joanna Bishop. Personal history. Rebecca Bishop was the most talented witch of her generation. Great things were anticipated of her, as she showed abilities for spellcasting and a sense of premonition that were extraordinary for a teenage witch. Rebecca beat Peter Knox in a congregation competition set up to identify the next generation of the magical elite. The bishops were proud of her potential, and other American witches predicted that the bishop lineage was about to shine as it hadn't since Salem. But Rebecca seemed to throw away her magical promise on a career as an anthropologist and a romance with an underachieving wizard. While pursuing a graduate degree in anthropology from Harvard University, she fell in love with a more senior graduate student, Stephen Proctor. The two married and went on to acquire teaching positions at area schools, Rebecca at Harvard and Stephen at Wellesley. Soon after their marriage, Rebecca became pregnant with their first and only child, Diana. Rebecca was a highly intelligent woman and a talented practitioner of both white magic and the higher, darker magics. No one is quite sure what level Rebecca reached in her proficiency in the darker magics. Like her daughter, Rebecca was adept at keeping secrets. Tragically, Rebecca died in Nigeria with her husband in 1983, leaving Diana an orphan in the care of Sarah Bishop. Rebecca Bishop Claremont. Full name. Rebecca Arielle Emily Mouth Bishop Claremont. Origin of name. Rebecca is for the baby's maternal grandmother. Arielle comes from the de Clermont tradition of bestowing the name of an archangel on members of Matthew's family. Emily is for Rebecca's other grandparent, Emily Mather. And Mouth is for Isabeau's servant, who played an important role in Rebecca's conception and birth. Date of birth, November 21st. 2010. Astrological sign, Scorpio. Physical description. Jet black hair, brilliant gray-green eyes, milky skin. Family and romantic relationships. Daughter of Matthew Claremont and Diana Bishop, and twin sister of Philip Bishop Claremont. Personal history. Rebecca is one of the Brightborn, the offspring of both a vampire and a witch. She requires not only milk, but blood to thrive, and is restless and curious, like her mother. Sarah Bishop. Origin of name. Sarah means lady or princess in Hebrew. Sarah was Abraham's wife in the Old Testament, and her name was originally Sarai, quarrelsome. But God later changed it. In this case, the original meaning seems more apt. Date of birth, May 7th, 1950. Astrological sign, Taurus. Physical description. Sarah is of average height, more than a little plump, with wild red hair. A member of the Madison Coven, the Conventicle. Family and romantic relationships. Aunt to Diana Bishop through her sister, Rebecca Bishop. Her partner was witch Emily Mather. Personal history. Sarah Bishop is a worthy descendant of the sharp-tongued Bridget Bishop. Sarah always says exactly what's on her mind, the consequences be damned. She's been the overlooked Bishop witch because her elder sister, Rebecca, exhibited far greater talent. Nevertheless, Sarah is proud to be a bishop and conscious of her position in the witch world because of her name and lineage. She finds her niece intensely irritating because Diana seemed intent on denying the family legacy of which Sarah is so proud. Outside her circle of fellow witches, Sarah has a healthy mistrust of other creatures, especially vampires, whom she considers well below cats on the evolutionary scale. Sarah's constant companion is her gray cat, Tabitha, a superior feline who believes she is the head of the household. Sarah is an expert in the craft, with encyclopedic knowledge of herbs and the healing arts. She has almost no elemental talents. She despaired of Diana's magical abilities because Diana had never been successful in implementing the spells Sarah gave her. Sarah is a by-the-book sort of witch, whereas Diana is almost entirely intuitive. Sarah's prized possession is the Bishop Grimoire. Over the years, Sarah has held a number of jobs for a short period of time. Office work doesn't really suit her. She gives too much unsolicited advice at the till to work retail. And her people skills, or lack thereof, rule out a customer service job. Sarah makes a living these days peddling herbal and magical cures to the creatures of Madison County, including the humans. She's also a trained midwife and officiates at traditional births in the area. Sarah revels in her reputation as the town witch and eccentric, and believes that this, too, is part of the Bishop legacy. Sarah's partner, Emily Mather, was Rebecca Bishop's best friend. Sarah and Emily met and fell in love soon after Rebecca and Stephen's deaths, when Emily moved to Madison to watch over Diana. Emily's tragic death at the hands of Peter Knox and Gilbert d'Orillac devastated Sarah, who must now learn to live without her. The Bishop Claremonts helped to occupy her time, especially seeing to the needs of boisterous twin babies. Jack Blackfriars. Origin of name. Blackfriars is the area of London where Jack is from. Date of birth. Circa 1583. Astrological birth sign. Unknown. Date of rebirth. August 8th, 1603. Astrological rebirth sign. Leo. Physical description. Jack was a scrawny, underfed street boy. On his rebirth, he was about 20 years old, 6 feet tall, with a rangy frame. His eyes are golden brown, with gold and leafy green flecks, and his smile lifts slightly higher to the left corner. A member of Bishop Claremont Scion, Andrew Hubbard's London gang. Family and romantic relationships. An orphan adopted by Diana and Matthew in 1590, Jack's vampire sire is Father Hubbard. His grandsire is Benjamin Fox. When the Bishop Claremont Scion was formed, he finally found his family again and was named godfather to Philip Bishop Claremont. Personal history. Jack is a troubled, loving artistic, an intense boy, and the treasured adopted son of Diana and Matthew. He was a skin-and-bones urchin surviving through thievery on the streets of Blackfriars when they rescued him. He can remember clearly the victory celebrations around the defeat of the Spanish Armada in 1588, and so estimates he was born roughly 5 years before that. The hardship and violence Jack suffered in his earliest years gave him terrible nightmares as a boy. Matthew encouraged him to exorcise his fears through drawing. Despite these nightly terrors, however, Jack was also mischievous and enthusiastic. To keep him out of trouble, Diana arranged for Master William Shakespeare to tutor him, along with the young witch Annie Undercroft. Andrew Hubbard took on the role of guardian for Jack and Annie after Diana and Matthew's departure from 16th century London. Diana had made Hubbard promise to look after them. When plague hit London in the early 17th century and Annie fell victim, it looked as if Jack would follow. But Father Hubbard gave him the choice to survive and see Diana again. And so Jack became a vampire, joining Hubbard's family and his London gang. Tragically, the blood rage that Hubbard passed on manifested in Jack. Benjamin found out about his grandson and fed Jack's blood rage, encouraging him to create more and more dangerous children whom Benjamin could use for his own ends. Jack's rampages attracted the attention of humans, and it was he who was responsible for the gruesome vampire murders. Jack managed to escape Benjamin's clutches, but at a terrible cost. Were it not for his art and music, Jack would have destroyed himself long ago. Philippe's gift of the Duchess of Marlborough cello, made by the famous Venetian Signor Montagnana, saved him, along with his ability to artistically render his memories and nightmares. Now that he is back in the center of a loving family, Jack has the stability to overcome the monsters that haunt him.
Sidonie von Bourque. Sidonie is a respected seer who is a member of the present-day congregation. One of her ancestors, Sidonia von Bourque, was a famous witch and noblewoman who was tried and executed for witchcraft in 1620. Sidonie is stern-looking, with brown hair threaded with gray and held in a bun, and she has execrable taste in clothing. She demanded a report on Diana after hearing that the Bishop family had been consorting with vampires.
C. Catherine.
Catherine was a beautiful and resourceful young demon who lived in the small village at Septour in the 16th century. She and her older sister, Jeanne, were employed at the castle as part of Philippe's staff. When Diana and Matthew visited in 1590, she was assigned to serve as Diana's personal maid. This meant helping Diana navigate the fiddly and often time-consuming process of dressing, undressing, and bathing. Relatively quickly, Catherine and Diana grew close. William Cecil. Full name and other names. Lord Burghley, the Lord High Treasurer of England. Origin of name. Cecil is of old Welsh origin and derived from the name Ceslet, which in turn has roots in the Latin Sextilius and Sextus, sixth born. Date of birth, September 13th, 1520. Astrological sign, Virgo. Physical description. A look of Father Christmas, with his gray hair and beard, which disguised his steeliness and cunning. A member of the Privy Council. Family and romantic relationships. From a family of minor Welsh nobility, married twice with 7 recorded children, including Sir Thomas Cecil, 1st Earl of Exeter, and Robert Cecil, 1st Earl of Salisbury. Personal history. William Cecil rose to become the most valuable advisor to England's Queen Elizabeth I. In 1590, Galloglass referred to him as the canniest man alive. Over his long life, he developed a reputation for shrewdness and an unyielding, tough pragmatism, which he demonstrated in his dealings with allies and enemies alike. His ruthlessness was perhaps most famously evident in his support for the execution of Mary Queen of Scots, Elizabeth's cousin and her rival for the throne. Cecil's support for Elizabeth was unwavering, however, as were his efforts to consolidate English power under her rule. Cecil's ascendancy was not without its bumps and bruises. As a young man, he was briefly imprisoned in the Tower of London for his association with the disgraced Duke of Somerset. But the canny Cecil managed to broker his own release and soon returned to court, this time to work for Somerset's rivals under King Edward VI. Eventually, Cecil was appointed to act as Elizabeth's surveyor of lands, while she was still only a princess. This gave him the advantage of knowing and serving Elizabeth for many years, well before she was queen. For her part, Elizabeth obviously trusted Cecil, a rare and treasured luxury for one in her position. He served at her pleasure for 4 decades, and from the highest posts in her government. He became Elizabeth's Secretary of State when she was crowned queen in 1558, and later was elevated to Lord High Treasurer, and eventually to the position of Chief Minister. As a mark of her royal pleasure, Elizabeth gave him the title of Baron Burghley in 1571. And of course, William Cecil had charge of her network of spies, both at home and abroad. This included Matthew Royden, and it is rumored, the playwright Christopher Marlowe, among many others. Diana was quite right to be terrified of this kindly-looking old man when he visited her at the Hart and Crown, for the old fox, William Cecil, was not a person to be trifled with, but then neither was Diana Bishop. Gillian Chamberlain. Origin of name. Chamberlain is a name of Old French origin. It is an occupational name for the official in charge of the private chambers of his master. Date of birth, 1970s. Physical description, in her 30s and slightly owlish in appearance. A member of the Oxford Coven. Family and romantic relationships. Gillian's mother, Susan Chamberlain, was romantically involved with Emily Mather before getting married to Gillian's father, Richard Stevenson. Personal history. Gillian was a witch driven to succeed at any price. She was a scholar of classical languages and ancient religion, but her ultimate ambition was to occupy a seat on the congregation. She studied the career of Peter Knox and admired his rise to prominence, despite his less than distinguished magical lineage. He was her role model as well as her rival, and she eagerly seized the opportunity to help him spy on Diana Bishop. In her efforts to please the congregation and to ally herself with other witches, Gillian adopted a chirpy, sisterhood-is-everything attitude that tended to ring false with fellow witches. She tried too hard. Like Knox, Gillian believed that witches deserved a higher position in the creature food chain than they were currently accorded, and she was especially eager to see vampires put in their place. Gillian coveted a place on the Congregation Council so that she could subvert its purpose and work toward witch supremacy. Families like the Bishops and Proctors were intensely annoying to Gillian. Though she was a conservative and valued witch traditions, Gillian didn't like the way that witches aggrandized the old bloodlines. In particular, she resented the attention that Diana Bishop received, especially since Diana had no discernible talent or ability. Gillian felt she could run rings around Diana, and secretly gloated that Diana lacked magical power. To her, this was proof that the goddess knew best, and rewarded witches who tried hard. Gillian's rigid views made her a dangerous adversary. She would be the first to sign up for any program that espoused racial purity and the subjugation of lesser creatures. Her death in Oxford, made to look like a suicide by Matthew Claremont, brought all those threatening ambitions to a close. André Champier. André Champier was a printer and wizard from Lyon, whom Philippe de Clermont summoned to Sept Tours to examine Diana. He was also cousin to the famous 16th-century Lyonnais physician Symphorien Champier. He was a university-educated wizard, and disdainful of the traditional arts and witchcraft known to women. When his painful probings went too far in his attempt to steal Diana's memories and report back to the congregation, she acted quickly and killed him with a knife from Philippe's boot. John Chandler. Origin of name. Chandler is an old Middle English occupational name, meaning maker and seller of candles. Date of birth, mid-16th century. Physical description. The man Diana met walked with a stoop and had hazel eyes. A member of the Worshipful Company of Grocers. Personal history. John Chandler was an apothecary with a shop under the Barbican Cross, just outside the city walls in 16th century London, and the first witch Diana met in London. His shop was full of grisly oddities, including a well-thumbed pamphlet about German vampire Peter Stube, and ink made from hawk's blood. Chandler, a witch with the gift of silent speech, refused to help Diana find any other witches. Even though he was a witch like her, his allegiances lay with other creatures, including the vampire father, Andrew Hubbard. On a lighter note, it was Chandler who sold Diana a pamphlet with detailed plans for building sundry engines and traps to take polecats, buzzards, rats, mice, and all other kinds of vermin and beasts, which she purchased out of concern over the nocturnal inhabitants of their house in the Blackfriars. Diana brought this pamphlet to the goldsmith, Monsieur Valin, inspiring him to construct a magnificent silver-gilt mousetrap for the princely sum of £15. George Chapman. Origin of name. Chapman is an Old English occupational name linked to a man of trade or merchant. Date of birth, 1559. Physical description. An ordinary warm-blooded human. When Diana met him, he appeared middle-aged and tired, as though life had already worn him out. A member of the School of Night, the Admiral's Men. Family and romantic relationships. The second son of Thomas Chapman and his wife Joan. There is no record of Chapman's ever marrying. Personal history. George Chapman was a scholar, translator, playwright, and poet of Elizabethan England. His work and style influenced both his contemporaries and poets who came after him. William Ponsonby, who had an eye for writers of great literary merit, recognized Chapman's skill and published his work. For many years, Chapman also wrote popular plays, which were performed in London's Rose Theatre and the Blackfriars. Unfortunately, his books and plays provided very little income, and Chapman struggled for his entire life to find patrons and sponsors willing to fund his artistic endeavors. Chapman was often penniless, but never friendless. A rather formal and slightly pompous member of the group of intellectual rebels known as the School of Night, Chapman was neither as swashbuckling as Sir Walter Raleigh, nor as talented as Christopher Marlowe, nor as wealthy as Henry Percy, Earl of Northumberland. He was, however, an earnest and devoted friend. It was George who took Diana under his wing and did his best to guide her through the rocky shoals of Elizabethan culture. He also searched tirelessly for her mysterious book, finally discovering that it belonged to John Dee. The majority of Chapman's literary efforts were published in the years after Diana's visit to 16th century London. While the School of Night suffered losses in those years, including Kit Marlowe's death in 1593, the group and its members had a powerful effect on Chapman's art. In 1594, Chapman memorialized the intellectual inspiration of the School of Night in his poem, The Shadow of Night, which he dedicated to his most dear and worthy friend, Matthew Royden. He wrote a poem about the adventure of Sir Walter Raleigh and completed Kit's unfinished poem, Hero and Leander, following Marlowe's death. Chapman also managed to complete his monumental translation of the Iliad, which was admired and widely read by his contemporaries. Unfortunately, this too earned him very little money, as his sponsor for the effort, Henry, Prince of Wales, died before Chapman could be paid. Amira Chavin. Amira, tall with short jet-black hair and skin the color of coffee with cream, is a friend of Matthew's and an expert yoga teacher. Matthew lets her use the old lodge to hold integrated creature yoga classes. Her empathy is a large part of her magic. She is godmother to Philip Bishop Claremont. Chef. Chef, no one knows his real name, was head of the kitchens in the full and busy household at Septoul in the 16th century. He had a large number of creatures under his command and produced lavish meals for family gatherings and feast days. He was thin as a reed and not tall, with his bulk concentrated in his forearms, useful when he's hefting and working enormous lumps of dough. Baldwin de Clermont. Full name and other names. Lucius Segeric Benoit Christophe Baldwin de Clermont. Baldwin Montclair. Origin of name. Baldwin has Anglo-Saxon and Old German origins, meaning bold friend. Date of birth, circa 82 BC, in the month of August. Astrological birth sign, Leo. Date of rebirth, September 52 BC. Astrological rebirth sign, Virgo. Physical description. Baldwin is a large, burly vampire. He appears to be in his late 20s or early 30s. He has ginger hair, an implacable expression, and a quiet command of authority. When Baldwin enters a room, everybody else sits up straighter. A member of the congregation, the Knights of Lazarus. Family and romantic relationships. Full-blooded son of Philippe de Clermont and head of the de Clermont family. His blood brothers include Hugh and Godfrey de Clermont, and Matthew is his stepbrother. He is fond of women but does not have a life mate, only a large number of ex-girlfriends. Personal history. Baldwin Montclair, the name by which he is known in the financial markets, is Philippe de Clermont's only surviving full-blooded son and the heir to his legacy. As head of the de Clermont clan since Philippe's death, Baldwin rules the family with an iron fist. He is a master strategist, often knows more than others think he does, and operates more subtly than he is given credit for. A formidable enemy, Baldwin is always operating on two levels, openly as a warrior and a prince, and covertly as a savvy politician. In some ways, he is very similar to his father, Philippe. Handsome, loves war, loves the company of women, and is not afraid of their power. Baldwin is not as charming as Philippe was, however, and is often compared unfavorably with his sire. Baldwin's relationship with his sisters and with Isabeau's children are tense and competitive. Baldwin's relationship with Matthew is especially difficult, as the two men are very different in temperament. Baldwin is impatient with Matthew's intellectual side and wishes he would just give up his scientific work and be the lethal killer that is so useful to have in the family. He openly disapproves of Matthew's taste in friends, especially his stepbrother's propensity to befriend demons and share family secrets with them. And Baldwin definitely doesn't like Matthew's relationship with Diana Bishop, though oddly, Baldwin does not disapprove of the witch herself. Baldwin was originally born in the Roman Empire and became a soldier in the vast Roman army. His skills as a soldier brought him to the attention of Philippe de Clermont, who recruited him into his clan and made him a vampire. Baldwin grew tired of fighting and discovered that empires could rise and fall according to their cash flow. From that point on, he preferred to fight with money rather than traditional weapons and has played a role in the establishment and breakup of every national power in the world ever since. Godfrey de Clermont. Origin of name. From the old French, Godefroy, with the first element meaning God or good, and Fred meaning peace. Date of birth, unknown. Date of rebirth, unknown. A member of the Knights of Lazarus. Family and romantic relationships. Godfrey was the third full-blooded son of Philippe de Clermont and stepbrother to Matthew. Personal history. Godfrey de Clermont was known for his devious intellect and sharp legal mind. Hamish studied Godfrey's notes on vampire law when looking for information on blood vows. His intellectual interests also covered alchemy, and his beautifully illustrated copy of Aurore Consurgens lured Diana to Septour. Sadly, Godfrey was killed in battle, fighting in 1668, in one of the French King Louis XIV's wars. Hugh de Clermont. Origin of name. Hugh is the English variant of Hugo, and was a name particularly popular in the Middle Ages with the Frankish nobility. Date of birth, unknown. Date of rebirth, unknown. A member of the Knights Templar, the Knights of Lazarus. Family and romantic relationships. Hugh was Philippe de Clermont's eldest full-blooded son and stepbrother to Matthew. He was also bloodsire to Galloglass. Hugh's mate was Fernando Gonsalves. Personal history. As Philippe's eldest son, Hugh de Clermont was a key member of the de Clermont family for centuries. He was executed by the French king in 1314. Matthew idolized his older stepbrother and created a shrine to Hugh in the chapel of Septour, consisting of Hugh's shield, gauntlets, hauberk and coat of plates, sword and helm. There was no body to bury as Hugh was burned at the stake. Galloglass and Matthew exacted revenge against the men who betrayed Hugh. Fernando and Hugh met sometime in the 8th century and were happy together for 6 centuries before Hugh's tragic end. Hugh was a literary, intelligent, and honorable man, but with little practical sense. Fernando was the one who always saw to it that Hugh had what he needed, and their house was well run. When Philippe's interference in Hugh's life became too much, he often struck out on his own with Fernando, living in Cordoba, Spain. Galloglass referred to their separate family as a scion of the de Clermont. Their home in Cordoba was also a haven for Matthew, until Philippe called him away to the Crusades. Louisa de Clermont. Origin of name. Louisa is the feminine variation of Louis, meaning famed warrior. Date of birth, unknown. Date of rebirth, unknown. Physical description. Louisa was preternaturally beautiful, with enormous dark eyes, fair skin, and dark hair. Shapely and seductive, she could attract human prey like no other vampire. Her likeness can be seen in the Peter Lely Portrait of a Lady. Family and romantic relationships. One of Isabeau de Clermont's brood. Her vampire brothers included her birth twin Louis, as well as Matthew de Clermont. She made many romantic conquests in her dramatic life, and caused mischief with other troublemakers, such as demon Christopher Marlowe and vampire Domenico Michel. Personal history. This vampire was nothing but trouble from the moment she was made. Louisa was one of a set of twins whom Isabeau plucked out of poverty and a life of crime in medieval Paris, and transformed into vampires against her husband's advice and the family's wishes. The male, Louis, made a perfectly acceptable vampire. Louisa was not so lucky. She inherited blood rage and embarked on a career of violence, lust, and love affairs that often threatened to bring the crowned heads of Europe and the de Clermont to ruin. Louisa's beauty and allure meant that human men and women fell at her feet and offered themselves up for the taking. And take Louisa did. She had no scruples, zero capacity for guilt, and she felt regret for her actions only when she was caught and punished. Philippe finally banished her from the de Clermont clan in 1591 in retribution for her attack on Diana Bishop, which violated Philippe's blood vow, circumstances kept secret from the wider family. Louisa came to a bad end in the late 17th century on a plantation in the West Indies, where her tendency to snack on the sons of local landowners became problematic. She was burned alive in her home, and her slaves were blamed for it. Matthew de Clermont. Full name and other names. Matthew Gabriel Philippe Bertrand Sébastien de Clermont. Matthew Clermont. Matthew Royden. Shadow. Sébastien Sinclair. Gabriel Ben Ariel. Matthew Chiaromonte. Origin of name. St. Matthew was one of the 12 apostles, and the name Matthew became popular in Europe in the Middle Ages as Christianity took hold. Philippe thought it sensible for Matthew to keep his name when he was reborn, as a link to the new religion that now shaped their lives. Date of birth. AD November 2nd, 500. Astrological birth sign? Scorpio. Date of rebirth. AD June 15th, 537. Astrological rebirth sign, Gemini. Physical description. Matthew is physically striking, with blue-black hair, gray eyes that tend to green, and a wide mouth. He is very tall, 6'2 or 6'3, and physically imposing, without looking muscle-bound. He is gracefully put together with everything in proportion, which can make him look smaller than he actually is. A member of the Knights of Lazarus, All Souls College, Oxford University, the Congregation, at one time, the School of Night University, the Conventicle. Family and romantic relationships. Matthew's birth parents were a French village carpenter and his wife. He is blood son of Isabeau and stepson to Philippe de Clermont, lover and husband of witch Diana Bishop, and father to bright-born twins Rebecca and Philip Bishop Clermont. His vampire sons include Marcus Whitmore and Benjamin Fox, whom he renounced. He adopted Jack Blackfriars with Diana and became his great-grandsire through Benjamin and Father Hubbard. His previous romantic relationships with Juliette Durand and Eleanor Saint-Légère ended badly. His first wife, Blanca, died of plague, along with their son, Lucas. Personal history. Matthew Clermont is a complex knot of contradictory impulses and desires. At the core, he is a sinner in search of redemption. The defining event of his life was not the moment he became a vampire. It was the moment that directly preceded it, when despair and guilt over the sudden deaths of his wife and son led him to take his own life. From that time on, Matthew has been plagued not only with guilt and despair, but with rage and fear as well. He fears himself, and rightly so, for he has inherited a curse from his maker, Isabeau. Blood rage, the blind urge to kill. Over the centuries, Matthew has learned to control it through self-discipline, his Christian faith, and above all, from the exercise of his keen mind. A poet, a healer, a scientist, a spy, a warrior, a prince, and an assassin. All these titles have belonged to Matthew over the course of his long life. Matthew was born in a small village in the Auvergne, which at the time was an important crossroads in medieval Europe. His lineage is French, from the mountain people who met up with invading Roman armies. Matthew learned his father's trade of carpentry and was taught the new craft of stonemasonry that was arriving in the region from Italy. He was a craftsman and an artist long before he was a scientist, and this is an important part of his personality. Matthew is a deeply flawed hero. He has several vulnerabilities, rage, arrogance, and a continuing quest for redemption and forgiveness. At the same time, Matthew is a gifted healer, a gentle man who yearns to be a father. As a scholar, he has seen countless theories overturned and numerous brilliant minds judged for their shortcomings. Yet still, he strives for truth and order in the world around him. He loves music, art, and poetry. Like his faith and his science, these have provided a harbor for him in the storm of life. Over the centuries, he has developed a finely tuned radar for quality of mind and talent. As with all other aspects of his life, Matthew does not blindly follow trends, but recognizes quality when he sees it. Matthew's way of being in the world is as complex as the man himself. He can seem both highly traditional and conservative, yet also willing to change. So Matthew will use an 80-year-old fountain pen, lovingly restored and tended to keep it in working order, but also buy the latest laptop the moment it's released. Matthew surrounds himself with items that are beautiful and functional. When he finds something that works for him, he sticks to it, whether it's a model of car, a brand of pen, a style of shoe, or a daily ritual. There is no change for change's sake. For all his many gifts, good looks, talent, intellect, physical strength, Matthew always feels like the black sheep. He is a loner, an outcast. He is the de Clermont's hidden weapon, and his blood rage is their deeply held family secret. If that were discovered, it would mean death not only to him, but to his maker, Isabeau, and his children as well. His family has used Matthew's shameful blood rage to their advantage, forcing him to occupy the position of the de Clermont family assassin. He has done the distasteful job with distinction, and his own peculiar brand of honor, but it has taken a terrible toll on him in many ways, not least of which is marginalization. Living on the margins has made Matthew an expert watcher. Whether in scientific observation or pursuing a woman who interests him, his single-mindedness can blind him to possible conflict and danger. He can be impulsive, but is deliberate in his actions too, and will watch and wait far longer than others would, human or vampire. He is the consummate hunter, biding his time until the perfect moment to pounce on his prey. Matthew's salvation is his abiding Catholic faith, and his desire to understand the world around him and his place in it. Over the centuries, these two avenues, the religious and the scientific, have formed the lifeline to bring him out of the darkness of his guilt and family expectations. Now, having Diana and a family of his own provides another. Philippe de Clermont. Full name and other names. Philippe de Clermont, Alcides Leontothymus, the birth name attributed to Hercules. Origin of name. Philippe is the French variation of Philip, which has origins in ancient Greece. A literal meaning from the Greek elements means lover of horses, and in turn, with horses owned only by the rich and powerful, noble. De Clermont is a place name from France, made up of the old French clair or clair, meaning clear, and mont, a hill. Date of birth, unknown. Date of rebirth, unknown. Physical description. Philippe looked like the lion he was, with tawny hair, sun-kissed skin, and hazel eyes that sparked with life and intelligence. A member of the congregation, the Knights of Lazarus. Family and romantic relationships. Philippe's birth parents and vampire sire are unknown. He was lover and devoted mate of Isabeau de Clermont, and together they ruled and nurtured their brood of de Clermont vampire children. His blood sons include Hugh, Baldwin, and Godfrey, and daughters Freya, Verin, and Stasia, as well as stepson Matthew de Clermont and blood-sworn daughter Diana Bishop. Personal history. Philippe, the patriarchal sire of the de Clermont clan, is the absent presence at the heart of a discovery of witches. He is the soul of the story, the keeper of secrets, the warrior of human myth and legend, the romantic hero on whom all subsequent heroes have been based. His origins lie so far back that no one, not even ancient vampires like Isabeau and Maltz, know for sure how or when he was made. By the time of the ancient vampire wars, and those took place millennia ago, Philippe was already a battle-scarred and tested warrior. Philippe was a man whose personality and physique matched the greatness of his spirit and courage. Though not human, he was one of the most humane men who ever lived. Difference did not frighten him, and his views of the world were expansive, accepting, and tolerant. One of the reasons Philippe lived as long as he did was his firm conviction that in order to survive, one had to be willing to change. He was the most adaptable of vampires, never fighting against the prevailing winds, but sailing along with them to his next home, his next adventure, his next challenge. The one fixed point in Philippe's life was his mate, Isabeau. Once they'd met, there was never anyone else for him. She was the center of his world, the axle tree of his universe. Philippe would have destroyed anything and anyone who threatened her, including his own children. To outsiders, Philippe seemed to overindulge his mate, allowing her freedoms and privileges that most vampire patriarchs would never permit. But he knew that Isabeau was fragile, and that having once been a prisoner, she would never survive in captivity, no matter how gilded the cage. Philippe's great disappointment in life was that he did not manage to create a safe haven for creatures in the Holy Land. This project was dear to his heart for centuries. When he had to face the inescapable truth that such a promised land was not meant to be, he behaved as he always did when confronted with obstacles. He regrouped and launched an entirely new venture called the Knights of Lazarus. Tragically, Philippe died as a result of injuries sustained in the death camps of Nazi Germany in World War II. In a mission to free Allied female spies, he was captured and subjected to medical experiments and torture. The Nazis were fascinated with the question of how much damage a vampire's body could sustain without dying. In fact, it was Matthew's vampire son, Benjamin, who performed the torture as personal revenge against the de Clermonts. To ensure that Benjamin did not discover any damaging family secrets, Philippe sought the help of a witch imprisoned in the camps. She muddled Philippe's mind, took his memories, and left behind nothing but a chaos of fragments. Though Matthew and Baldwin were able to rescue Philippe from the camps, there was no way to heal his broken mind. After Philippe's repeated attempts to end his own life, Matthew and Isabeau finally agreed to help him. Matthew drank his blood dry, taking in the images of his life and sharing the agony of his final torture. Philippe's last thoughts, and the only memories still left whole, were of his beloved Isabeau. Vérin de Clermont. Origin of name. Vérin is of Slavic origin, meaning faith. Date of birth, unknown. Date of rebirth, unknown. Physical description. Vérin has the smooth and serene face of a woman in her 20s. Her posture is easy, and her black hair and silver-gray eyes sparkle with energy and intelligence. Despite her elfin quality, she often has a knife concealed in her high-heeled boots. A member of the Knights of Lazarus. Family and romantic relationships. One of Philippe de Clermont's formidable daughters, and mated with a human, Ernst Neumann. She and her nephew Galloglass are close. Personal history. Vérin is as strong as her sisters, Stasia and Freya. The family eventually begged Philippe to stop making daughters because they were so terrifying. Vérin lives in Berlin with her husband Ernst, whom she married when he was 25. They met when Ernst was a boy at the end of World War II, and she saved him from her stepmother Isabeau, who went on a grief-stricken rampage through Germany following Philippe's death. Ernst is now approaching retirement, and they are as devoted to each other as ever. Vérin, despite her reluctance to receive a witch into the family, was the one who acknowledged Philippe's blood vow to Diana and confirmed her place in their family. Isabeau de Clermont. Full name and other names. Genevieve Mélisande Hélène Isabeau Aude de Clermont. Mélisande. Origin of name. Isabeau is another form of Isabel and means God's promise. Date of birth, September 17th, very long ago. Astrological birth sign, Virgo. Date of rebirth, unknown. Physical description. Isabeau is a classic beauty with blonde hair, green eyes, pale skin, and a shapely figure. She is petite, though not as small as Miriam. The impression she gives is one of grace and delicacy. Isabeau is the personification of French style, favoring a monochromatic palette of fawn, beige, and cream. Her hair is long and usually worn in a French twist. Her footwear varies between high heels and riding boots. She prefers French designers, naturally, classic lines, and expensive fabrics. Family and romantic relationships. Isabeau is the lover and mate of vampire Philippe de Clermont, matriarch of the sprawling de Clermont clan, and mother to Matthew de Clermont, as well as Louisa and her twin brother Louis. Her maker was a fearsome vampire of antiquity. Personal history. Isabeau de Clermont is one of the oldest vampires in existence, and the cleverest. Known for her beauty and elegance, Isabeau was mated to the legendary Philippe de Clermont, and together they became the de facto rulers of European vampire culture. Though others tried to unseat them, the two survived centuries of war and politics. Philippe always credited their success to Isabeau's cunning and ruthlessness, calling her my general. Isabeau is a miracle of survival. She was made a vampire against her will, and her early years of rebirth were filled with rape, torture, and torment at the hands of her maker, who had blood rage. When Philippe freed her from captivity, she was feral. It took centuries for Isabeau to recover and to trust again. Because of her experiences, Isabeau can seem icy and forbidding. But this is a facade. At her core, Isabeau is a blend of courage and wounds that will never fully heal. Though Isabeau has never exhibited any signs of blood rage, she is a carrier of the disease. Some of her children, namely Matthew and Louisa, do have full-blown blood rage, though most do not. Because of the perception among vampires that this is a curse, the family has kept Matthew's and Louisa's condition a secret. Philippe knew that if it was revealed, not only would their lives be forfeit, but so would Isabeau's, and he would prevent that no matter what the cost. Like Philippe, Isabeau is an avid reader of newspapers, romance novels, and adventure stories. She loves going to the movies and adores escapist fare, like romantic comedy and epic fantasy. Her taste in furniture and art is impeccable, and she has been a patron of important painters, sculptors, and craftsmen over the centuries. In spite of her delicate appearance, Isabeau is capable of acts of great ruthlessness. She is fiercely protective of her children and will do whatever it takes to keep them from harm. Philippe's death following Nazi torture almost drove Isabeau mad with grief. And in the period immediately afterward, she would hunt only in Germany and Argentina. She held a deep hatred for witches due to her belief that they were involved in Philippe's torture. But she gradually learned to live again and keep the de Clermont clan together without him, despite the divisions among their children. She always has the calm and devoted Matz by her side at Sept Tours to support her. Marjorie Cooper. Marjorie Cooper, short with a round face, was an earth witch and a member of the St. James Garlicithe gathering in 16th century London. She was married to a vintner. Her magical specialty was remembering, and she coached Diana in finding the right words for her spells, and in turn, how to imprint them on her memory. Eamon Corner. A member of Andrew Huppard's family in London, Eamon Corner is an angular young man with a strangely fitting name, taken from the place in the church where he was discovered as a foundling. He is part of the gang with Leonard Shoreditch, with whom Jack Blackfriars hangs around. Pierre Cornu. Pierre is another devoted, loyal vampire servant in Matthew's extensive entourage, and was at the old lodge on Matthew and Diana's arrival in 1590. He is a slender man who has an expressive face, weather-beaten skin the color of hazelnut, and black hair and eyes. Pierre especially took a shine to Jack and Annie, helping look after them in 16th century London. Cora. Cora is Diana's familiar, a fire drake. A fire drake looks like a dragon with two legs, and is a union of opposites, a creature of both fire and water. As one might expect of a bishop familiar, Cora is extremely difficult to handle. Galloglass calls her wee beastie, demented parakeet, and occasionally worse. Linda Crosby. Linda, a neatly dressed elderly woman, is a witch in modern-day London, in the area where Diana and Matthew lived in 1590. She is a member of Andrew Hubbard's family and a descendant of earth witch Marjorie Cooper, whom Diana met in the 16th century. Linda helped Diana weave the spell to locate the owner of the third missing page from the Book of Life. D. Mr. Danforth. A clergyman in 16th century Woodstock, Mr. Danforth was a fearful man, a bit unkempt and not particularly bright. He had some education, having attended university, and had read at least some part of the witch-hunting manual Malleus Maleficarum. Eager to wield it against those he suspected of witchcraft, Danforth soon had Diana Bishop in his sights. He petitioned his bishop to have Diana investigated by London authorities, but Matthew and Diana were able to put a stop to the inquiry by appearing privately before Elizabeth I. Jane D. Origin of name. Jane is derived from the old French Jeanne, and is the feminine version of the name Johannes or John. Date of birth, 1555. Physical description. Diana encountered a sharp-faced, ample-hipped woman, many of whose gowns had seen better days. Family and romantic relationships. Born as Jane Fromond, she became John Dee's disgruntled wife and mother to 8 children. Personal history. The much younger wife of the alchemist John Dee, Jane had previously been lady-in-waiting to Elizabeth Clinton, the Countess of Lincoln, in Queen Elizabeth's court. After her marriage, Jane lived with her husband and their children in the small village of Mortlake, on the River Thames west of London. They also spent years living abroad. Even by 16th century standards, the Dee household was large and tumultuous. Jane, who reportedly had a sharp tongue and a forthright manner, cared for their many children and oversaw numerous domestic servants, including one who infamously jumped down the well. Conditions within the Dee's home were not for the faint-hearted. In order to support her husband's scientific work, Jane needed to feed a constant parade of visitors. Less frequently, though more happily, she also entertained his sponsors. Her efforts were made more difficult by the irregular nature of Dee's income, depending as it did on the fickle favor of wealthy patrons such as Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth I, the Marchioness of Northampton of the Silver Salt, and Sir Philip and Lady Mary Sidney. Visits from the Queen's representatives were most welcome, however, even if they were vampires, and especially when they came bearing gifts. Jane also had to share her home with her husband's scientific apprentices. She had a particularly complicated relationship with Dee's most favored assistant, the unstable Edward Kelly. Kelly was known to leer openly at her in public, and otherwise displayed an unsettling interest in her person. In 1587, only a few years before Diana met Dr. Dee and his wife in Mortlake, Edward Kelly claimed to have received a message from a spirit, instructing Kelly and Dee to share everything they had, including their wives. According to Dee's account of this revelation, he and Kelly were stunned by the news, and their wives took it very hard as well. We do not know Joanna's response, but according to Dee's diaries, Jane fell a-weeping and trembling for a quarter of an hour, although at length she agreed, saying, "I trust, though I give myself thus to be used, that God will turn me into a stone before he would suffer me, in my obedience, to receive any shame or inconvenience." It seems all 4 of them did follow the spirit's orders. Soon thereafter, the Dees left Prague and returned to Mortlake, where 9 months later, Jane had a son, whom they christened Theodorus Trebonius. His name means the gift of God at Trebon. Trebon is a town near Prague where Dee and Kelly had settled. The Dees never saw the Kellys again, and this cross-matching was not discovered until Dee's journals were read after his death. Dr. John Dee. Origin of name. Dee is derived from the Welsh du, meaning black. Date of birth, July 13th, 1527. Astrological sign, Cancer. Physical description. Based on portraits of Dee, he wore the black robes of a scholar, a tight-fitting hood covering his head and extending down his neck, topped with a flat cap. A long white beard jutted from his chin. A member of Trinity College, Cambridge University. Family and romantic relationships. Of Welsh descent and married 3 times, with 8 children by his 3rd wife, Jane. Personal history. John Dee was a famed natural philosopher and scholar of the 16th century. He conducted studies and experiments in astronomy, astrology, and alchemy, as well as practicing other occult sciences, including divination. He was an immensely learned man, a fellow at Trinity College, and he traveled extensively in Europe. There he studied the natural sciences, including mathematics, cartography, and astronomy, and was part of a network of scholars. Dee advised the crown, particularly Queen Elizabeth I and her counselors, on diverse matters, including British imperialism, In fact, he is credited with coining the term the British Empire. He also championed a plan for the founding of a national British library. Queen Mary did not support this plan, however, so he set about gathering his own collection at his home in Mortlake outside London. Eventually, Dee owned more books than both Oxford or Cambridge universities combined, and scholars from all over Europe came to visit his remarkable library.